Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Huh? Hey, welcome back to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. I'm Tim with Ed and Wesley, and joining us now is Steve Paisley Jordahl.
Good morning, everybody.
How you doing, Brother Steve?
I am well, thank you. Doing well.
So before we get back into the political and international and all kind of other news we got lined up for this half hour, the most important news right now to a lot of Americans is college football.
Very, very much so. Especially
the playoffs are coming up.
They are.
But this weekend, before we get to the playoffs, we got the a lot of big conference championship games. And you know which one I'm looking forward to watching?
Well, see, they already had the Egg Bowl. So
okay, I live in SEC country.
Yeah.
And I follow SEC football, but I don't really care about Georgia and Alabama because they play every year.
Okay, true.
Right.
Kansas?
Sometimes more than once.
And I just say good for them. Good for them. That's excellence. Good for Alabama, good for Georgia. I want to watch Indiana and Ohio State,
The
Big Ten, a championship game. And I was telling Brother Cole, who runs our video out here, he's an Ohio State guy. He and his dad, Ken, and their family, they came down from Ohio to work here in Mississippi.
Not newly converted. He's always been on.
Oh, no, yeah. Buckeye. They're Buckeye all the way.
Yeah.
They're Buckeyes. Who wouldn't be? Hey, you win every game.
That's right.
Who wouldn't want to be a part of that? No, but they came here from Ohio. But I want to watch Indiana. But I told him this. I said, you know what? It's the Ohio State Buckeyes versus the world. Because unless you're an Ohio State Buckeye fan, everybody else is rooting for Indiana. Because why? Because Indiana's that great American underdog story.
Same thing with Alabama when they were winning national championships. Everybody, except for Alabama fans,
pulled against whoever was playing them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just the way human nature is.
Yes, it is.
And so we want to see the king of the hill pull down the hill,
right.
Don't we, Ed?
That's right.
And unless you're the king of the hill, which
we say we root for excellence in America,
right. No.
But not when it comes to sports.
Right. So anyway, Ohio State's number one, Indiana's number two.
Yep.
Indiana, as Ed said, has never won anything since Hoosiers.
Since the movie Hoosiers.
Since the movie Hoosiers. Indiana, we didn't even know Indiana played football.
Well, they were pretty good, and not football, but basketball.
Basketball, yeah.
The Larry Bird
but football,
days.
Football, no. Indiana's never done squat in football, and I say that as a Mississippi State fan. I know what squat is.
You're a squat expert.
And when somebody does it.
So, in our state, the Ole Miss fans are really getting pumped up because they're going to make the playoffs, too. That's coming up. Playoffs start. Did they start 2 weeks, 3 weeks? When do they start, Wesley? Do you know? College football playoffs. This weekend is all the conference championship games, and then the playoffs start sometime.
Yeah, they start December the 19th.
Okay, the 19th. And they'll
– So it'll basically after the conference championships this weekend – it's like 2 weeks.
Okay.
Right? Is that right?
1 weekend off, 2 weeks of, yeah.
And then they start playing every weekend until they get to the championship game in January. So anyway, what you looking at, Steve?
I'm looking at the difference. There was a dispute, we didn't land blows, but Ed and I were looking at two different lists of college football lists.
Yeah.
And he is looking at the AP Top 25, which is what most people look at. I have in front of me the CFP rankings, which are the college football playoff rankings, which determines the seeding in the playoff.
They had the committee that announced them last night, right?
Right, yes.
Okay.
And they're a little different. They're a lot the same, actually, mostly the same.
Who's
Ohio State and Indiana are the same. Georgia's number three. Texas Tech is number four. They agree on that. Oregon, number five. Ole Miss, number six. Seven, they're the same. Eight.
Texas A&M is seven.
Right? Yeah. Let me get the top 25. There it is.
Oklahoma.
Then there's the coaches poll. Seven, eight. Oh, yeah. So Oklahoma. So it's the same at the top. So, yeah, you got to – Oregon is number four. Yeah, there's little moderate differences, but not big.
What'll be interesting to see is if Alabama loses to Georgia, if they get booted out of the playoffs, because you're not supposed to lose your position if you are playing in a championship game. But,
right.
But well, who knows? Because that would
they are number 9 in the CPF rankings.
Yeah,
CFP rankings, I should say.
All right, so we'll see what happens there.
Yeah,
and you're listening to Today's Issues. What's your first story, Steve?
Speaking of colleges, we have the latest college out of many to decide that they're going to take seriously President Trump's mandate that they get rid of all their gender nonsense and the pronouns and the DEI stuff. Texas Tech campuses have announced that their Chancellor Brandon Creighton has announced that there are new restrictions on how college professors may teach DEI or the differences on sexual orientation in classrooms. They may not promote, according to Brandon Creighton at the Texas Tech University system, the idea that one sex or race is inherently superior to another. They may not promote an individual by virtue of their race or sex is inherently racist or sexist, and on. All the DEI stuff, they cannot promote it. They can teach it as one of many beliefs, or this is what's out there, but they can't say now that because you're white, you're automatically racist.
Right, we're seeing a trend since day one of Trump and his team entering the White House for his second term, a trend in the removal of DEI practice amongst corporate world and also college campuses. Because I saw this morning, there's roughly 400 college campuses across the country who have either eliminated DEI from their program. Or they've rebranded it to be more inclusive for everyone. And so the reason I thought this was a good story is because when you think that a lot of the times when the enemy takes ground, you may neutralize it, but it's hard to gain it back.
Right.
And when we see the idea of elections having consequences, and because of the leadership of the Trump administration on this issue, by forcing the hands, and in some cases, forcing the hands of these college campuses to remove DEI, I wanted to make sure that we recognize that there are good things happening. Now, Trump's not the only one. There are, now this is a little bit of a leap, but there are a lot of people across, this is a little bit of a leap as far as the direct results of why this happened. However, there have been a lot of Christians and a lot of conservatives obviously concerned and fighting back on this issue, and they spent a lot of time trying to make the case that this is the opposite of its definition. It's the opposite of diversity, inclusion, and diversity, equity, and inclusion. And so we've spent many years fighting against this problem. And when we start making this much effort, I wanted to, you know, say, hey, if you ever felt like you were fighting and you weren't making any ground, remember Galatians chapter 6 that says, don't grow weary in doing good, because if you continue on, and you'll reap if you don't give up. And that's, here we are, covering some ground.
Let me ask you this, Ed, related to this. When we say DEI, what we mean is it's called diversity, equity, and inclusion. This started gaining popularity really big 5-10 years ago on college campuses in the corporate world. What exactly is our objection to what DEI promotes? Because it sounds wonderful. Who's against diversity, equity, inclusion?
Yeah. Well, it really, Wesley's point is the main one I'm going to make is that it's not actually diversity, equity, and inclusion. Now, a lot of people, and I think rightly so, object to the word equity, which is equality of outcome. Okay, that's different from we've always talked about equality of opportunity, where we've said everyone
right.
should have the same opportunity to succeed.
Right.
And you can't discriminate against black people, for example, and say, well, you're just black person, you're just as qualified as this white person, but you know what? We don't hire black people. Okay, that is a denial of equality. That is antithetical to the ideas of our Constitution and the Bill of Rights. Equity says everybody must have the same outcome, and we're going to guarantee that. regardless of how hard you work or regardless of what your grades are, et cetera, et cetera. Equity and equality are kind of at loggerheads. But the point that Wesley made is that when people say we're for diversity, what they really mean is we are against white people. White people are racist. So we are going to remove white people and give minorities the opportunities that white people used to have.
You mean like what happened in commercials?
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of part of it. You're talking about advertisements.
TV commercials.
Yeah.
They ban white people. And straight people.
Yeah. Well, so it's DEI operates on the assumption that white people have privilege, and because of that privilege, that's why they're successful. And therefore, in order for minorities to be successful, we've got to remove the privileges that white people have and give those privileges to minorities.
It's actually reverse racism.
Exactly. Yes.
Is what it is.
Yes.
Because they're classifying these people on the left, look at the white race and say it's by definition racist itself. It's fascist. It's colonialism. It's
all those things.
All those bad things.
Buzzwords.
Which some of it is true in history. But guess what? White people didn't invent slavery.
Right.
You know what? In Africa, they're still doing it today. One tribe enslaves another. In Arab countries, they don't care. You know, they're at war. The Sunnis and the Shia, the Persians and the... So, I mean... white people did not invent slavery, okay?
And they didn't invent, privilege either.
No, and guess what? Before the Europeans came to the United States of, well, what was then the New World.
Yeah.
Wasn't called the United States of America then. It was British. And set up colonies and began to move into the, what we call North America. Guess what? The Indians, the Native Americans, they didn't live in peace.
Right.
They killed each other over what?
Land.
Over land. And they warred and they warred. And so people on the planet Earth have been killing each other and warring over land and property and riches since the dawn of time. All right. And sometimes it's racial. Sometimes it's ethnic. A lot of times, like in Africa, I mentioned, the Native Americans, it's just tribal. Mm-hmm. It's the Sioux versus the Cherokee. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And so that had nothing. So I'm just saying that, guess what that all goes back to? The heart of a man or a woman, which God says in the Bible is sinful. How do you overcome that? How do you learn to love people and treat people fairly and with respect who aren't like you? Well, you follow the model of Jesus Christ. That's what you do.
In the words of Scripture.
First and foremost. So does that make, am I making sense?
Yes. You do need to point out this, though. While it is true that America did not invent slavery, it did end slavery.
Right. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, the people who fought to end slavery in America were a lot of white.
Mostly white men.
Northerners, soldiers in the Union Army. Now, I don't want to get too much into this. A lot of the Southerners who fought in the Civil War, they didn't know too much about. They weren't necessarily in favor of slavery.
Right.
They just knew they were being invaded by people from another part of the country. Anyway, I don't want to get into too much of that. Steve, next story.
All right. There are two immigration stories that are in the news right now, and they're coming closer to home for Christians and evangelicals. I'm talking about the stuff that's going on in Minnesota, the Somali community, and all of the fraud that's going on there. And then there's the issue of the National Guard shooting and how did we vet the Afghan people we brought over from Afghanistan after the war. And let me start with the Afghan issue, because Megan Basham is out there, and she is saying that World Relief, which is the National Association of Evangelicals immigration arm, may be complicit in some of this. Listen to Cut 14.
So we talked also last time about the National Association of Evangelicals. It's an it's the largest association of evangelical churches in the world. Their immigration arm is World Relief. They have taken something like $330 million from the federal government since 2021 to resettle, quote unquote, refugees. In 2021, they took $56 million to resettle refugees, including those from Afghanistan, including the shooter of those two National Guards people. So the day before that shooting, President Trump announced that there would be additional vetting. So he announced a while ago there would be additional vetting of the Afghani refugees. The day before that, World Relief issued a statement condemning that decision. And in fact, their VP, Matthew Sorens, who is heavily active in evangelical churches, you will see him often on the weekends giving presentations. They send materials out to churches saying you must welcome the stranger. He called it a needless re-traumatizing of the Afghani refugees. The very next day, the Afghan terrorist killed two National Guardsmen. So that's how this empathy debate is working within the church.
You know, it's interesting. I know I'm getting inside baseball here when I'm talking about the topic of the history of churches, but in the U.S. But, you know, 100 years ago, there was something like, I may not have my years right, so don't hold me to this. There was something called the National Council of Churches.
Yep.
All right. That was really, I think that's what it was called. That was really an association of mainstream, at that time, large denominations in America that came together for unified purposes. They became so liberal that an organization was founded to as an alternative called the National Association of Evangelicals. We here at American Family Association, my dad, we've been in existence almost 50 years, but we used to work really close with the National Association of Evangelicals. And they were a organization that was conservative and true to the Bible, and a lot of great denominations and pastors and people were part of the National Association of Evangelicals. You remember this?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So what she's talking about right there? Who are we listening to?
Megan Basham.
Okay, Megan is talking about how the National Association of Evangelicals has shifted more to the left.
They have.
So I don't know what we're going to form now to
combat that
as a new alternative, but that's interesting and ironic that she would be mentioning that the National Evangelicals, that she said that they'd taken in how much money, like $300 million or something like that.
Yeah, I don't
to resettle Afghan or Somali or
no,
not
Afghan.
Just that
the Somalis the Somali is a different. If I could just let me do this and then I'll let you guys
right, go
for whichever one. You know, there's this whole allegation of fraud within the Somali community. In fact, we can play Christy Noem, the Homeland Security.
I think these are charges. These are more than just, they are
Homeland
allegations.
Secretary Christy Noem says that she calls Tim Walz an idiot, and that half of the Somali visas are fraudulent. Well, those fraudulent visas may have had a hand from Lutheran Social Services. And this is a young influencer, conservative guy named Jeff Baugh, who's done the research, cut 15.
Why are Somalians in America? Especially North Dakota and Minnesota. So I looked into it. The main group bringing in Somalians is Lutheran Social Services. And turns out, they get $2,375 for every Somalian they bring over.
From the federal government, probably. Yeah.
Yes.
So this is a very good story, Steve. So the United States, since 2020, the election of Joe Biden, the United States was not only being inundated by illegal immigrants, okay, coming across basically an open border on the south. But we were also being inundated by quote unquote legal immigrants who had visas and who, under the auspices of the Biden administration's encouragement, groups like the ones you're mentioning being paid to bring as many people as they could.
Yeah.
over. So
and incentivized financially.
Yeah, if you're an organization, you're being paid by the Biden administration $2,000 plus per Somalian.
Yeah.
You're going to make sure you get as many Somalians into this country as possible because you make money.
This is the common theme here is people who go under the banner of Christianity are subverting our country in many ways. That's what Basham. If indeed you've got, he mentioned that fellow right there mentioned Lutheran
Social Services.
Okay, and then I know another group that's notorious for this kind of left wing aiding and abetting people coming here illegally is the Catholic Charities.
Charities also get money. Huh?
Yep.
You see, so what you're saying is these charities. What you're saying, Steve, these charities are being financially incentivized to bring people to the United States, and if for everyone they can get over here and quote settled, then they make money off of it, right? Or they get a donation from some federal
either
government.
A block donation of millions of dollars, as in the World Relief. Well, World Relief, they didn't break it down per person. They were paid a bunch of money to bring to help people get over, and then they spent whatever they spent.
Not saying, and Megan Basham's not saying, I don't think, that the fraudulent visas, half of these for the Somalians, is someone saying those were provided by these Christian organizations? Nobody knows how they got their fraudulent visas.
Well,
how does this work?
Let me see. According to our Christy Noem, who I got to make sure I get her correct, Homeland Security
Barbie,
Homeland Secretary Barbie, Homeland Secretary Christy Noem. Listen to what this was during a cabinet meeting yesterday with President Trump. Cut 13.
You know, you told me to look into Minnesota and their fraud on visas and their programs. 50% of them are fraudulent, which means that wacko Governor Walz either is an idiot or he did it on purpose. And I think he's both, sir. He brought people in there illegally that never should have been in this country, said they were somebody that they're not. They said they were married to somebody who was their brother or somebody else. Fraudulent visa applications, signed up for government programs, took hundreds of billions.
By the way, just let me say before we get calls and emails, I was not calling her Barbie. Christy Noem,
right. Yeah.
the Secretary of Homeland Security.
Good call.
I was merely saying that's what the left-wing media refers her all the time.
You're being sarcastic.
I was
about
being sarcastic, but I didn't get a chance to finish my sarcasm.
Yes.
Which will lead people to believe that I'm calling her Barbie, which is disrespectful, which we get emails and phone calls for.
Yeah.
So I'm saving us a lot of trouble here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
By going on the
You're saving
record.
Yourself Steph, a lot of trouble.
Because we were going to forward you the emails.
So. Yeah. And I don't need them because then I have to type them back and say, I wasn't calling her Barbie. I was saying other people.
You know what? Can I just say one quick thing about the Barbie thing?
Yeah.
And then we can, whatever we can cram in here, we can. The left is always saying you shouldn't objectify women.
Yes, they are.
They're not just, women aren't just another pretty face. They're intelligent, whatever.
Right, right.
And they completely showed themselves to be hypocrites by calling Christy Noem, who by any, average, she's a very pretty lady.
Right.
Okay. So they call her Barbie.
Right.
They objectify her and treat her as if she doesn't have a brain
in her
head.
The very people who say we shouldn't objectify women. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
My thanks to Wesley. Wesley, thank you for your contributions.
You're welcome.
Your contributions really, you blew it out of the water. I don't know what else to
say. I agree.
Don't you agree?
He blew it.
I don't think he quite blew it all out of the water. I'm sending in a second strike just to make sure he gets it all.
Man. Hey. You guys.
Listen, I kept my word. I'll let y'all have the last word on that issue.
Okay. My thanks to Ed, Steve, and Fred Jackson, Frank Turek, Brent Creeley, Cole Green, and
Indiana.
And whoever made the popcorn.